Morning. Today's daf and erev in Yudalid. We are in the Mishnah and bottom of Yigim Lamed Beis, continuing in our discussion regarding the Mavui. Mishnah over here is once again going to give us some basic information regarding the adjustment of a Mavui. In order to be able to carry in a Mavui, so it has to be adjusted, as we've been discussing now since the beginning of the Masechta. This is now going to begin our third week of discussing the requirements of this Mavui and the Hechsher Mavui. And we go back to the discussion of the Korah. We're talking about the horizontal beam that's put at the entrance of the Mavui in order to provide Tikkun. In the first Mishnah, we already discussed how it cannot exceed 20 amas high. Second Mishnah, we spoke about what exactly is required in terms of an adjustment. Machlok is Beishama and Beisilo. Halacha is either a Korah or a Mavui. And now we're going to be talking about the dimensions of a Korah in this Mishnah over here. A Korah, we start with the Mishnah. A Korah Sha'amar Rachva Kedei Lekabel Ariach. So the width of the korah is going to be the amount in order so that you can balance a brick on top of the korah. The ariach chasi levena. Now, as far as the ariach is concerned, it's half a levena shel shosha tfachim or three tfachim. So the math over here is easy, and I say that knowing that a little bit later this morning the math is going to get slightly more complex. But over here we have a brick that is three tfachim. We're talking about now not the length of the brick, but half of it, which is going to be 1.5 tfachim. It's going to be resting on the korah, and as long as it could be resting on the korah, that is the width of the korah. So you would think at this point in time that the korah now needs to be 1.5 tfachim wide, and then the Mishnah confounds us a little bit, because in the Mishnah says, Dayela korah shtei rechva tefach kedei lekabel ariach lerechvo. So now your korah only needs to be one tefach in order to be able to support our half brick. Now that, of course, is a little bit confounding, because we just established that the half brick is 1.5 tfachim, and meanwhile the korah only needs to be one tefach wide. Stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask that obvious question. Rachva kedei lekabel ariach. The Mishnah then goes on to say that it has to be wide enough in order to accept the brick that we just discussed. Ubria kedei lekabel ariach. And it's also got to be strong enough as well. So in other words, the Tanakhama's position is that not only is there a dimension to the Korah, in that it must be one tefach wide, but there's also has to be a strength to the Korah as well. It has to be firm enough, it has to be solid enough, in order so that it can accept the ariach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rachva Afa Pisha Ein Bria. Then Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that no, it's not necessary. Sufficient if the Rachva just simply be wide enough, but it doesn't have to be strong enough. So Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that there is a dimension. He agrees with the Tanakhama, there's a dimension. But in terms of the strength of the Korah, it does not have to be that strong. In fact, Haiso Shokash Vishokanim Rano Soki Ilu Shamateches. Rabbi Yehuda goes and accentuates his point, and that is, let's say our korah is made up of reeds or very thin beams, meaning just simply materials that in no way can support the brick. We view it as if it's metal, meaning that the only criteria for the korah is to just simply be a tefach wide. In terms of how much it can actually hold, it doesn't need to hold a brick. It just simply has to be wide enough. We'll look at it as if it's made out of metal. Akuma rono soki ilu pshuta. So this idea of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're basically going to be able to use our imagination in order to fortify the Korah, so not only is that true in terms of how much it can hold, in terms of its strength, but even in terms of its shape. So let's say, for example, it's bent. So you have now a Korah that doesn't go straight from one end to the other end of the entrance of the Mavui, but rather it bends. So we'll view it as if it's straight. Agula, let's say it's round. Rono soki iluhi murubas. We're going to look at it as if it is, I'll say square, but really rectangular. And that means to say that, let's say, our korah is not a rectangular shape. It's not the shape of a beam. It's not a 2x4. It's simply circular in its shape. That's fine. As long as, at one point in time, its diameter is going to be its diameter is going to be one tefach, that's sufficient. That'll be fine. And then the Mishnah tells us, kol sheish bekefah, shosha tefachim, yesh bo rochav tefach. In fact, as long as the circumference of our korah is going to be three tefachim, so now you know that the diameter is going to be one tefach. Here the Mishnah introduces us to the relationship between circumference and diameter, and the Mishnah describes it over here as 3:1, the 3:1 relationship between circumference to diameter. Okay, we're going to come back to that later, because obviously we touched on a little bit of geometry, but we're going to come back to the geometrical point a little bit later on this morning. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah over here brings us to the basic points, the basic dimensions of a korah, one tefach wide, to put the Mishnah in the most succinct terms. In terms of the other details of the Mishnah, we're going to come back to those details as we go through the Gemara. Let's start with the Gemara on the top of Yudalamad Aleph. Tefach, tefach umechzabai. So the Gemara starts off with the most obvious question, which is, how does the Mishnah get from, it's got to be able to support a brick, not its length, but rather its width, which is 1.5, so therefore it's enough for the core to be 1. What does the Mishnah arrive at the conclusion that it has to be 1? It should be 1.5. That was the numbers presented in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Kevin derach of the kabel tefach, ida chatzi tefach malbin lei betina, mashehu, mehagisa, umashehu mehagisa v'kaima. So the Gemara says, because here's how it configures. What we're going to be doing is that we're going to be laying the brick on its short side, which is 1.5. And the reason why the kara itself only needs to be 1 is in order to secure the brick on the kara. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a little bit of cement on each of the sides. There is a half a tefach in total excess of the brick over that of the kara. Take that half tefach, divide it into half, so that's a quarter on each side. As we already discussed, the tefach is made up of 4 etzbaos, so that means to say it's 1 etzba on each of the sides in excess. So that is now going to be filled in with a little bit of cement, and that is how the kora only needs to be 1 tefach in total, because we're also factoring in the cement that we're going to put in order to secure the brick on top of the kora. Fine. So it comes out now that the kora only needs to be 1 tefach wide. Amar Rava bar Ravuna, kora sham tzricha shetei bria kedei lekabel ariach, u'ma'amide kora ina tzricha shetei bria kedei lekabel kor ve'ariach. So here the Gemara has a brief discussion regarding the strength of the kora. So again, according to our Tanakama of our Mishnah, so the kora has to be strong enough that it could support the brick. So according to Rabbi Bar Ravuna, that's true not only regarding the kora, but also regarding the ma'amide kora, that which supports the kora. Meaning to say that, let's say, the kora is not sitting on the wall itself, but there are pegs jutting out of the wall, and then the kora is laid on top of those pegs. Those pegs are the ma'amide kora. They're what's holding up the kora. So according to Rabbi Bar Ravuna, the kora itself has to be strong enough in order to support the brick, but the pegs do not. The pegs just need to be strong enough in order to support the kora, but not the bricks themselves. Ma'amide kora, I'm just rereading. Ma'amide kora inat zrichan shiyu brim kedei lekabel kora ve'ariach. So the pegs themselves that are holding up the kora do not have to be that strong. Now, why not? So you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Divrei Maschil, Ma'amide kora. Im hinicho agabi yesedos im tzrichem shiyu brim lekabel kor ve'ariach ela lekabel kor levad. As we just got done saying, the pegs that are holding up the korah only need to be strong enough to hold up the korah. Daha lo yavi ariach ala uvekorah hu debeinan kviyas. It's only regarding the korah that I need it to be something which is fixed, something which is strong. Ki hechi de tahave heker ma'alya. So Rashi over here relates it back to our discussion that we had already numerous times in this Masechta. How is the korah operating? Why is it that the korah is adjusting the mavui? So Rashi over here says, because really our korah is serving as a heker. It's there to help people recognize this is the line of demarcation between the end of the mavui and the beginning of the Rishus HaRabim. So Rashi says, as far as this heker requirements is concerned, that demands that this beam be a sturdy beam. It's got to have a certain width, and it's got to also have a certain girth to it. It has to have strength. That provides it heker. The ma'amidim, that which supports the kara, so there's no heker component to the ma'amidim. It's there just simply to hold it up. And Rashi continues, Ava ma'amida lo tali hekera bididu. We don't have a heker requirement regarding the ma'amidim. As far as the heker, that's only with the actual beam itself. So according to Rava bar Rav Huna, the only requirement of this of the kara having strength and girth is only regarding the kara, but not regarding the ma'amidim, not regarding the peg that hold it up. On the other side of this issue, we have Rav Chista. Back to the Gemara. Rav Chista amar echad zeh ve'echad zeh, tzrichin shiyu brim kedei lekabel kora ve'ariach. So Rav Chista says that both the kora and the ma'amidim have to have the strength component, meaning not only a width of a tefach, but also the strength as well. Both on the kora and on the ma'amide ha'kora, and that which holds up the kora as well. And Rashi over here doesn't give a clear svara in terms of why that is. But presumably, it's that the ma'amidim kara take on the status of the kara, and therefore has this requirement of having having to have this the strength, this girth. Amar Rav Sheshes Gemara continues. Hinech kara agabi mavui paros alam machatzels vihigbiyam in a karka shlosha kara einkan mechitza einkan. Let me before I translate Rav Sheshes, just a quick word of introduction. you know, sometimes how it is that you want to try to help the situation. Sometimes when you're helping the situation, it comes out that you are not helping, but rather hurting, right? To borrow a phrase, kol ha-mosif goreya. Sometimes adding is really detracting. And an example of that would be Rav Sheshes. Let me now reread and let's translate. Let's say you put the korah on top of the mavui, as you should. And over here, by the korah, if the korah were just left alone, you would have been fine. However, and then what you did is that you laid over a mat over the korah, and it comes now down, and it basically serves as a partition for the front. So now it's better, right? You now have a korah, and you have a mat in front of it. So, v'igbim in a karka shlosha. The problem is the mat doesn't come all the way to the ground. In fact, the mat's just kind of hanging in the air, three tvachim above the ground. So now, says Rav Sheshes, what do you have for yourself? You walk away with nothing. Kora inkan mechitze inkan. You don't have a beam, you don't have a wall. So kora inkan daha mechze. So as far as the beam is concerned, it's covered. It's covered by the mat. And so therefore, the purpose, we're going to go back to Rashi's point over here. The purpose of the kora is a heker. If it's covered, so you don't have it anymore. So you don't have the kora. Ah, but what about the mat that's coming down? Can we look at that as a partition, that's a mechitza? No. Mechitza inkan daha vele mechitza shagdim bokimbo. Because the mat is hanging in the air, and because it is above three tefachim from the ground, so it's not a wall. A wall has to come down to the ground, or at least within three tefachim of the ground. The expression over here that's used is that the goat can walk underneath it. It's an expression that's used to describe a wall that's not coming down to the ground. And once it's three tefachim above the ground, so now it can have easy passage for the goats. Goats can just simply walk underneath it, and no longer can be viewed as a wall. And so what you've done over here is that as much as you wanted to help the situation, you've only hurt the situation. You cover the korah so the korah doesn't work. The wall doesn't hit the ground. It's three tefachim above the ground, so the wall doesn't work as well. Tana Rabbanan. Gemara now is going to be quoting a braisa, and all the cases in the braisa are going to be dealing with a korah that's slightly incomplete, and the question becomes, is it going to serve as a valid korah? So the braisa starts off, korah ayosas mikosel zeh. So let's say the korah comes out of one of the sides of the mavui and doesn't make it all the way to the other side. Okay, it's going to be somewhat of a neat engineering feat in terms of how it's just going to be standing there. But anyway, but whatever the case is, it didn't make it to the other side. Or let's say you have a korah coming out of each of the sides of the mavui, but they don't meet each other. In other words, there's a gap between the two korahs somewhere around the center of the mavui. So pachos mishlosha in tzarech lahavi korah acheres, shlosha tzarech lahavi korah acheres. So over here, the halacha is very simple and very straightforward. And that is that if the shortfall between the korah and the side of the mavui, or the shortfall between the two korahs that are meeting each other in the middle but not touching each other, if the shortfall is anything less than three tefachim, that's great. You have the principle of lavud. Lava tells us that anything within three tefachim, the gap is going to get filled. So over here, using the principle of lavud, so the gap is filled, either from the korah to the other wall of the mavui, or between the two korahs, provided that the gap is less than three tefachim. Rabbi Shem Megamlil, Amar Pachos Midalei, Tzarech Lahavi Korah Acheres, Arba Tzarech Lahavi Korah Acheres. Shitas Rabbi Shem Megamlil, which we've already seen a couple of times, is that he is a proponent of lavud being not less than three tefachim, but less than four tefachim. It's the same idea. It's just that for him, lavud is one additional tefach. V'chein. The Braisa goes on to give us another example of an incomplete korah. Beis korahs hamatimos. Let's say I have two korahs, each one of them being narrower than a tefach, but they are twin korahs. That's the word matimos from the word ta'omim. They are twin korahs. Lo bezukedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezukedei lekabel ariach. Neither of them by themselves are able to be wide enough in order to hold the brick, meaning neither is a tefach. Im makpilos ariach lerechvo tefach, ein tzarech lahavi korah acheres. V'im lav tzarech lahavi korah acheres. However, the combined total width of these two beams that are side by side a tefach, so then you're good. Rishim ben Gamliel omer, im makpilos ariach la'arko shlosha, ein tzarech lahavi korah acheres. V'im lav Tzari lahavi korah acheres. According to Rishim ben Gamliel, if they're extraordinarily narrow, however, you can lay a brick on along its long side, meaning three tefachim, so then you don't need another korah. achas lamala, the achas lamata. Our last case over here is that we're going to go back to our twin kolras, each one of them being narrow, and they are not side by side, but one is above and one is below. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rav Nisael, Yonah, Kihilu, Hi, Lamata, Vesatachton, Kihilu, Hi, Lamala, Uvavad, Shalot, Eyal, Yonah, Lamala, Michafama, Vatachton, Lamata, Miasara. So according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, here's what we get to do. We don't have to physically put them together, but as long as the upper thin beam is within 20 amos of the ground, the lower thin beam is above 10 tfachim of the ground. So what halacha gets allows us to do is basically move the one that's up down, move the one that's down up, so that they meet each other. So now I have my korah, which in total is a full tefach. That is Shitas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Abai, now on this last point of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Abai makes the following observation. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Savala Kavua Bechada Palagala Bechada. Now, Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, is holding like his father, but only on one issue, not on two issues. Savala Kavua Bechada, the Islay Rowan. First of all, he subscribes to his father's position of Rowan. What is this idea of Rowan? We just saw in the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda said that we get to be creative with our beams. If the beam is bent, we get to view it as straight. If the beam is made out of some very, very fragile, from some very delicate material, we get to look at it as if it's metal. This idea of Rowan allows for creativity as we look at the beam, and we get to straighten a bend, make it look at it as if it's a different material, or if it's circular, we get to look at it as if it's a thin rectangular piece. We only have to look at its diameter. So this idea of Rowan so allows for a tremendous amount of flexibility. Over here as well, if I have the twin korahs going across, neither of them are tefach by themselves, but if I move one down, I don't have to physically do so. And I move the other up, I don't have to physically do so. But as long as that's possible, so Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore we have now an allowance and we have an adjusted mavui. So in that regard, the son, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is adopting his father's position of flexibility. However, Palagala Bechada. However, he doesn't fully agree with Rabbi Yehuda because he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on another point. Which Rabbi Yehuda? The first one we were introduced to in our Masechta. The Ilu Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lamala Me'asrim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Savar Betoch Chav in Lamala Me'chav Lo. You go back to the first mission of our Masechta, and we remember that Rabbi Yehuda allows for the korah to be above 20 amos. Obviously, his son does not agree with the father. The son says that it only works. This idea of bringing the two korahs close to one another only works if the upper one is within 20 amos, clearly not agreeing with his father's position that the korah can be above 20 amos. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rechva Apapishe Nebriya. We go to our Mishnah. We go back to our Mishnah. And we note that there is a debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says that the beam, the korah, has to both be a tefach wide, and it has to be strong enough in order to be able to support a brick. Rabbi Yehuda says not necessary. Rabbi Yehuda says as long as it's wide enough, it doesn't have to be strong enough. So Masnila Rabbi Yehuda Chia bar Rav Kameda Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda now was teaching over the Mishnah to Chia bar Rav right in front of Rav, and he read the Mishnah as we have it. Rachva alfa pishen obriya. It has to be wide enough, but it doesn't have to be strong enough. Meaning he was going over the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when Rav hears this version of the Mishnah, Amar Leis, so Rav responds as Asneya. No, that's not how you should be reading the Mishnah, but rather the way you should be reading the Mishnah is Rachva uvriya. No, it has to be wide enough, and it has to be strong enough. In other words, he's demanding for a change of the Nusach of the Mishnah, because Rav reads the Mishnah differently. Interesting, by the way, in this Masechta, this is not the first time that Rav changes a Nusach of the Mishnah. In fact, he did so already on the first Mishnah. On the first Mishnah, when we describe the Tzuras HaPesach, so the Mishnah says that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's wider than 10 Amos, so you don't have to minimize it. So remember, Rav was of the position that Tzuras HaPesach cannot exceed 10 Amos. And so what about the Mishnah? So he has a different Nusach HaMishnah. So the second time in the Masechta, for those keeping score, I'm one of them. So the second time in the Masechta where Rav is changing the Nusach HaMishnah. Now over here, when he's changing the Nusach of the Mishnah, so it is a little bit challenging. Because what is he really doing? Meaning, this Nusach is going in Shitas Rav Yehuda. So the Tanakhama's position is that it has to be wide enough and strong enough. And then comes along Rav Yehuda, and Rav is saying, no, that's not the Nusach of Rav Yehuda. This is the Nusach of Rav Yehuda. It comes out now that according to Rav, what is he saying? that Rav Yehuda is agreeing with the Tanakhama? Well, that's a little bit strange. Meaning, so then there's no machlokas in the Mishnah. So then, is that what Rav is saying? So it's a little bit unclear exactly what Rav is doing now that he's changing Rav Yehuda's position to match the other Tanakhama. This issue which I'm raising right now is Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud, where he's trying to assess exactly what Rav is doing in the Mishnah by changing the Nusach. One suggestion, you can see right at the beginning of Tosfos, Perish Rashbam, Ve'in Machlokas Badavar. So the Rashbam says that what Rav is suggesting in the Mishnah is that this point is not open for a debate. And that what Rav is saying is that Rav Yehuda agrees with the Tanakhama, or, to put it in simpler terms, there's no debate on this very issue. That's a little bit challenging. You can continue in Tosfos, and because if that were in fact the case, there's got to be more Nusach of the Mishnah that needs to be changed. See further in Tosfos where the Balei Tosfos are obviously bothered by how to read this Mishnah with this new Nusach according to Rav. In the meantime, however, we go back to the Gemara, and we're going to be challenging Rav because we know another halacha that was said over by Rav. The Hamar Rav Eli, Amar Rav Rachval Arba'a Afa Pishen Obriya. Rachvar ba Alpha Bishen Obriya. Now we happen to know that Rav, as the Psak, says that if my kor is so wide, it's four tfachim wide, so then it doesn't have to be strong enough. So clearly Rav is of the position that a one tefach beam, so that has to be strong enough to be holding a brick. A four tefach beam serving as my korah, it does not have to be strong. So the Gemara's answer, a really straightforward answer, Rachvar ba Shani. Obviously, there's a major difference between a one tefach beam and a four tefach beam. If you're using a one tefach beam, so now that you're using such a small beam, so it's got to be one tefach and it's got to be a certain girth. It's got to be strong. And that, and only that's going to provide the hecker. On the other hand, if I'm using a four tefach beam, so that is observable, much more easily observable, and so therefore it does not have to be strong enough. So a simple difference between one tefach versus four tefachim. One tefach has to be strong enough, according to Rav. Four tefachim does not need to be strong enough. Okay, we're continuing in the Gemara. On Yudal Amud Aleph, we are about three quarters of the way down. As the lines start getting wide, second line down, two dots. Haisa shokash. My kamash malan damin and rowin, hainuach. Now the Gemara says that in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda gives a lot of examples of flexibility. The first one is, we're going to read the Mishnah like we have it. The first one is that it doesn't have to be strong enough. And the second one is, if it's made up of kash, if it's made up of straw, we could view it as if it's made out of metal. And basically, he just keeps hammering the same point again and again, and it seems to be superfluous. So, ma'u detema bimina amrina, shalom bimina lo amrina kamash malam. So the Gemara says, no, it's not superfluous, because here's what I could have argued. That if the material that the kor is made out of is a material that could be strong enough, it just happens to be that we don't have enough of the material. So there, Rav Yehuda would say Rowan. But if I'm using a material that could not be strong enough, so now Rowan, this idea of the way we could view it, is obviously now going to be a much, we're going to need more creativity to something made out of straw. If my core is made out of straw, so no amount of straw can actually be fortified and strong enough in order to hold the brick. Rav Yehuda says, even in that case, we're going to say Rowan, and we're going to allow the halacha to be flexible over here in order so that we can look at the straw as if it were metal. That's a bigger chiddush. So the Gemara says, kamash malan. That's what Rav Yehuda is coming to add at that point in the Mishnah. Akuma rona soki ilu pshuta. Let's say the korah is slightly bent. So the Mishnah says, we get to view it as if it's straight. Now pshita, the Gemara says, now seems to be, once again, once we know this idea of Rav Yehuda, where he allows us to look at it, and not exactly as it is, but what it could be. So, again, this is another idea which seems to be redundant. So, kamash malan kit Rebbe Zera, dami Rebbe Zera, hibisoch amavui, v'akmumise chutz amavui, hibisoch esrim v'akmumesa, lemala me'esrim, hi lemala me'asara v'akmumisa, lemata me'asara, ro'on kol she'ilo yinatel akmumise, v'ein bein zula zu shlosha, So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the statement made by Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera talks about bends going in all different directions. So that means to say that you have your korah going basically across, but then it bends. And in that bend, it goes out of bounds. And we describe out of bounds in a number of different ways. One is that the korah itself is 20 amas from the ground, meaning valid. But then that bend bends upwards, and it goes now above 20 amos in that little bend. Or let's say the korah is hovering really close to the ground, 10 tfachim above, meaning it's valid, but the bend goes into the 10 tfachim area. Or the third example of the out of bounds, I'm sorry, I'm not presenting in the order, in the right order, but we all get the point. And the third example that he gives is where it is now flush against the entrance, and that bend goes now into the Rishus HaRabim. In all these cases, as long as it's a small bend, where if I took the bend out, it's three tfachim, that gap now is less than three tfachim one to the other, so then it's going to be good. So what we're saying now is that what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say is that in all these cases, so we get to apply the principle of Rowan. Now the Gemara says, Anami Pshita. Now the Gemara says, I think it's all pretty obvious. The Gemara says it's not so obvious because Hibisach Mavu Vakamimisa Chutza Mavui is Terichle. The one example that is certainly a tremendous chiddush is where the bend goes out to the exterior. So that means to say that our korah for the most part now is just at the border of the entrance, but that bend now is going into the Rishus HaRabim. Here you could have made a very strong argument. Notably, Ma'u detem aleichus delma asei la'amshuchei basra. Because follow, that what's going to end up happening is that you know that the korah is the line of demarcation. And so what you're going to do is that you're going to follow the korah. And so that means to say that as long as the korah is right above your head, you are good to go. You are still within the mavli. I know just recently we had a discussion, can I carry directly underneath the korah? Do I have to stop carrying immediately before the korah? But it doesn't really change the basic idea. Meaning you're looking at the korah as being that line, the border. Now, if a small part of it is bending now into the Rishus HaRabim, so one could now make a really strong argument that, look, I'm just following the korah. And wherever the korah takes me, I'm going to go. And in that small bend, one can easily imagine that what a person's going to do is, he's going to be carrying something outside the mavoi, because all that person's doing is just simply following the bend that goes just slightly outside. So that's, I might have thought then that the chachamim would have been concerned, kamash malan. Now we have a chiddush. Chiddush is that for this little bend, the chachamim are not concerned, and it's going to be acceptable according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Agula rona soki iluhi meruvas. And now we get to our circular korah, and here comes the math portion of today. If you're a math person, you're really going to like this next piece of Gemara. If you're not a math person, so I suggest that you become a math person. Can't really describe myself as a math person, but I do like math. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing the relationship between the circumference and the diameter. So we get to do a little geometry today. And the Mishnah says that as long as the circumference of the korah is going to be three tefachim, so now we know that the diameter is going to be one tefach, and we are good to go. Meaning, using the principle of Rowan, we get to basically cut out the top and bottom portions of our korah and just look at the diameter section of the korah. So hasulamali seifa tzrichle. So the Gemara says now at this point in time, we've already established that Rabbi Yehuda allows for the principle of Rowan, that we get to look at things creatively. So the Gemara says over here, all we're doing is just giving another example of using one's imagination. At this point in time, we could have figured this out. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but what the Mishnah really wanted to get to is the relationship between circumference and diameter. So it is for the purpose of teaching us this relationship of 3-to-1, circumference to diameter. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. It's coming to inform us about that relationship. That was an important relationship, and therefore, the Mishnah wanted to share that information together with us. Now, I'm sure everybody here knows that the relationship between circumference and diameter, so we have a Greek letter that describes that relationship. We refer to it as pi. It's just simply a Greek letter to describe the relationship. Well, why don't we just give it a number? Well, it's the reason why is because the number is kind of hard to say over. It's an irrational number. Now, this idea of an irrational number just simply means that it is a decimal, that it does not come to an end. And so, therefore, the relationship between circumference to diameter is not really 3-to-1. It's a little bit more than 3. Well, how much more is it? So it's 3.14. But it really doesn't stop over there. In other words, the numbers just continue ad infinitum, and just 3.14 is a good place to stop. By the way, if you want to remember today's daf, in terms of where to find it again after after we're done with it. So we're on Daf Yudalad, that's the 1-4. And Masechta Erevin is the third Masechta. Okay, I don't know if it's going to make it into the Zichru format, but it's a great way to remember today's Daf, 3-1-4. Anyway, as far as the relationship is concerned, so obviously now we have a bit of an issue in that we know the relationship between circumference to diameter is going to be not 3 to 1, but it's a little bit more than 3, 3.14. So for those of you who have not heard this before, so it is rather exceptional in that the Rambam over here gives a description of the relationship between circumference to diameter. And the Rambam, in his Perusha Mishnayos, does an amazing job describing its relationship. If you look in the Perusha Mishnayos, so he gives a description. I'll come back to it a little bit later on in terms of quoting it inside. Okay, I'll quote it inside at another time. I don't have it. I didn't mark off exactly where it is. Anyway, the Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos describes the relationship, meaning fully aware of the fact that it's slightly over 3, and he actually writes that the number itself is unobtainable, meaning that he is fully cognizant of the fact that it's an irrational number. He doesn't use that terminology, obviously. That's more modern terminology. But nevertheless, he describes it as an irrational number. And when we say 3 to 1, we're obviously giving an approximation, and it's not exact. And obviously, what we're learning together is that approximations are acceptable, meaning the Gemara is fully aware of the fact that the relationship is 3 to 1. It's empirical, meaning you just simply measure it. But if you really did measure it, you would find out that it's not 3 to 1. It's a little bit more than 3 to 1. So obviously what we're saying together now is that what the halakha allows for in this regard is an approximation. We don't need to be exact. So as long as you have the circumference of being 3, so you could view the diameter as being 1. Even though mathematically, if the circumference were exactly 3, the diameter would be just slightly under 1 tefach. But it's okay. The halakha allows in this regard an approximation. What the Gemara is going to be doing now for a good amount, from here until the upcoming Mishnah, is it's basically going to find a source in Tanakh that speaks about the relationship of circumference to diameter. And so we continue now in the Gemara Menahani Mili. So the Gemara wants to know, where do we see this relationship occur within Tanakh? So Amar Rav Yochanan Amakra v'yasas hayam mutzak eser ba'ama misfaso atfaso agul saviv v'chamesh ba'ama kamaso. So we start with Yamsho Shlomo. Yamsho Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech, as part of the edifice of the palace and the Beis HaMikdash, so he made a really large, it's called a lake. It's not exactly a lake. We can view it as a mikvah, an extraordinarily large mikvah that he built. And over here in the Psukim, in the beginning of Sefer Malachim, the dimensions are given. It is described as from a diameter of being 10 tefachim, from end to end, meaning diameter. And in terms of how deep it is, it goes 5 tefachim deep. And in terms of the circumference, 30 tefachim. By the way, I apologize. I said tefachim. Every time I just said tefachim, please adjust that to an amma. 10 ammas across, 5 ammas deep, 30 ammas in circumference. Good. So, and what you see over here clearly is that in this description given to us by the Navi, regarding the Yamsho Shlomo, so you will see a relationship between the 10 amas of diameter and the 30 amas of circumference. The Gemara goes on, Va'ikas Faso. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If really we're looking at this to be the model, so what about the fact that obviously Yamsho Shlomo had a ridge to it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa Faso, Safa Perach Shushan. So Rav Papa says, okay, it happens to be that the lip of this Yamsho Shlomo, it was thin. Petal thin, a rose petal thin. Ksiv v'edichsiv avav tefek v'sfaso kemas ekos perach shoshan apayim bas yachil. Quoting more psukim over there, it describes how the edge is really super thin. It's petal thin. Va'ika mashu. The Gemara says, okay, but it's still substantial. There's still some substance to it. So the Gemara says, fine, ki kachashim mi gavai kachashim. So the Gemara says, oh, all right, but that doesn't bother us. Because in terms of giving us the measurements, we're measuring from the interior, not the exterior, so we're good. Meaning the diameter is 10 amos from interior to interior. Circumference, interior circumference, is going to be 30 amos going around. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Chia, or Tani Rabbi Chia. The Gemara now is going to be continuing along this discussion. Yamsha Asa Shlomo, Hayamachzik Me'a V'chamisha Mikva Tahara. So now, here comes a little bit more math for today. And that is that we have a tradition brought to us by Rabbi Chia, that what was the total content, the volume of water that was held in the Siyam Shel Shlomo, it had 150 mikvahs worth of water in the Yam Shel Shlomo. And so now we get to do a little bit of math. So simple addition, subtraction, a little multiplication, and a little division. It's really not that hard. So mikvah. So the Gemara says, mikvah kamehava arbaim sa'akid detanya. Now we know that one mikvah, the base minimum amount of one mikvah, 40 sa'akid detanya, and we already saw this, and we get to see it again. We just went through this earlier in the Masechta when we talked about shiurim. So the base minimum amount of mikvah, so we're given a volume measurement, and we're also going to be given a linear measurement as well. Volume 40 sa'. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, v'rachatz es b'saro. We turn now to the Amud Beis, b'mayim b'mei mikvah. So in terms of toveling, so the Torah says that you have to go into water and mei mikvah. It has to be collected rainwater. It has to be that your whole body is going to go in. Mayim shekol gufo ola behen. So that means to say that it is enough water where your whole body can go in at one time. Vikamahain, and how much is that going to be? So first we'll give a linear measurement. Ama, al ama brum shlosh amos. So it's going to be one ama by one ama, three amas high. That is basically the height of a person. We already discussed this just a couple days ago. And that is that, are we assuming that a person's average height is three amas? The answer is yes. Does that go all the way up to his head? Debatable. Because on one hand, we're looking now at the smallest cubicle that you can go in, and your whole body is going to go in. So as we already discussed, so one can make the argument that obviously it has to go all the way up to your head. In other words, for your whole body to go in. On the other hand, we could make the argument, and again, this is all discussed in the Rishonim. You could make the argument that three amas really just goes up to your shoulder, and when you go in, it's going to go to your head based on the principle of displacement. Okay, either way, it's one amma by one amma by three amas. Now, in terms of translating that into volume, so the one by one by three linear comes out to a total of 40 sa'a. Now, here's going to be the mathematical problem of today's daf, and that is that once we know the mikvah unit, and once we have the tradition of Rabbi Chia, that there are 150 of those in the Yam Shel Shlomo, and we also know the total size of the Yam Shel Shlomo, so what the Gemara now wants to know is, do we have a match? And the problem is going to be, this is going to be our mathematical problem, is that at face value, it doesn't match. And so what the Gemara is going to try to do successfully is basically have all these numbers create an equation, right, where it balances. And so first we start off by presenting the problem. Kama havaluhu chamish mea garmidi. So in terms of the size of the mikvah, the total size of Yam Shel Shlomo, it comes out to 500 cubic amas. Now, here's the thought process of the Gemara. Meaning we know that the mikvah, the Yam Shel Shlomo, was in total 5 amas deep, 10 amas in diameter. And so what we're going to do now is that we're going to take 10, multiply that by 10, and go 5 deep, and we get to 500 cubic amas. Hopefully everyone right now is thinking, wait one second, it's not a square, it's a circle. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that thought in just a moment. But right now, we're assuming it's a square, even though we know it's not. And so it's 500 cubic amas. So now, 500 cubic amas. So wait one second. Letlas mea mea, lemea v'chamishin chamishin. So be'arba memea v'chamishin saga. So the Gemara says, wait one second. 150 mikvaos. How many cubic amas does that take? It only takes 450. Meaning, we know that one mikvah is one base minimum mikvah is one by three, otherwise known as 3 cubic amas. So I take that and I now multiply that by 150. So it only comes out to a total of 450. And meanwhile, the total over here is 500. So the Gemara says, Hani mi libi rivua. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true. But that's if we were looking at a square. We're not looking at a square. Yamsha asr shlama agul haya. It was circular. So michti kama miruba yosel agul rivia. So the Gemara says, now let's take a look at the relationship between a square and a circle inscribed within a square. Obviously, the circle inscribed within the square is going to occupy less. How much less are we talking about? A quarter less. So the Gemara says, so now it's a quarter less, so we get to deduct a quarter of our totals. So the Gemara says, okay, we're deducting a quarter from our totals. So la arba mea mea, la mea ve'esrim ve'chamisha, hani mea ve'esrim ve'chamisha havaluhu. So the Gemara says, here comes now the problem. The problem is that now, if I took my total and I deducted a quarter off the total, so now all it's able to hold is 125. So now we are off in the other direction. Meaning now that we have taken the square and we have made it a circle, and thereby deducting a quarter of its total, so now the amount that it can hold is only 125. And so that becomes a problem because, again, we know the total area of the mikvah in terms of linear measurements, in terms of its cubic measurement. We also have the tradition, Rabbi Chiya, that it's able to hold 150 mikvahs. We know that each mikvah is 3 cubic amas, so we are somewhat right now a little bit stuck. So Tini Rami Barcheska Yamcha Sashlama Shosh Meos Tachtona Mirubans Vishai Milyonos Agulos. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to play around a little bit with the Yamcha Shlama. And basically what we're going to do is that we're going to work the numbers and so that we get an agreement between what we know is the base minimum amount of a mikvah. We know the total number of mikvahs that go into Yamcha Shlama. And so all we're going to do right now is just simply play around a little bit with the Yamsha Shlomo. And the Gemara says, and here's how you're going to do it. So, we know that the height of the Yamsha Shlomo was 5 amas. But what we're going to do now is we're going to actually take that and divide it into two parts. The lower base, 3 amas high, and then the base, and then the upper part, 2 amas high. On the lower base, it's going to be square in shape. And then when you go up from there, from the next 2 amas up from there, so it's going to be circular. And so the Gemara says, now that you did that, so what comes out is that it's going to be perfect, meaning that the lower base is going to hold 100, and then because it's three amas high and it's square in shape, so that's going to be holding now a total of 100 mikvahs, and then when you go up from there to the circular portion, it's going to be 50. So the Gemara says nihi di ibcha lamasas amar desfaso agul ksiv. Now the Gemara says, now we can't configure it in the other direction because we know the top is cylindrical. Ela'ema chada. So the Gemara says, okay, but why not suggest that the lower portion, 4 amas high, is square and the last ama is cylindrical? So the Gemara says, lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, no, not ready to entertain that. Dichsiv. Because if you go back to the pasuk that we already quoted, the apayim bas yachil, that we also know, based on the psukim, the volume that it holds, and that is, it holds 2,000 bas. What is bas? Bas kamahava? Shalish sa'in. A bas is equivalent to 3 sa'as. Dechsiv, me'eser habas akor, tahavalu shisa, I'm sorry, me'eser habas minakor. So, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, we know that the bas is going to be 3 sa'. So, 3 sa' for 1 bas. Yamsho Shlomo held 2,000 of those. 2,000 times 3, 6,000 sa'a. 6,000 sa'a, da'avalu shisa apa giryuye. Va'aksiv machzik batim shosha salafim. Sorry. Before I get to the next question. So now it comes out that we know the total volume is 6,000 sa'a. We have already established that a mikvah in its base amount is going to be 40 sa'a. We also know that it is 150 of those. 150 times 40 is 6,000 in total. So now, by configuring the Yamsha Shlomo, where it is going to be a cylindrical shape on top of a square, and the square is going to go 3 amas high, and the cylindrical portion is going to go 2 amas high, so now we have agreement, both in terms of the cubic measurement and in terms of the volume as well. Okay, good. So that is how the Gemara solved for the problem of, we know what a base minimum mikveh is, we know what the dimensions of the Yamshel Shlomo is, we also have the tradition of Rabbi Chiya, in terms of it's able to hold 150 mikvahs. So in order to get agreement on all three of these points, so we're going to have to configure it the way we just described. Now the Gemara says, now consider the following, and that is, Machzim Batim Shosha Salafim. So the Gemara says that the Batim is able to hold 3,000. Now that's 1,000 more than what we established, meaning that we said that it's able to hold 2,000, and now we have a pasuk describing it holding 3,000. That is 50% more. So the Gemara says, Haula Gudsha. So the Gemara says, well, it depends if it's used to measure liquid versus using to measure dry. Amar Abaye Shmamina Hay Gudsha Tlasa Hava. So the Gemara says, good. So now here's what we could see. That when I am taking a measurement and measuring liquid, which obviously means the liquid cannot go higher than its rim. That's just simply the nature of liquid. So now it measures X. If, on the other hand, I put a dry, which allows me to heap on top of it, so it's able to hold more. How much more? The Gemara describes it as a third, but the Gemara here, in its classic way of describing fractions, a third means a half. A third is after it's been put on, which basically means a half of its content. So basically 50% more of what it was able to hold as a liquid. The heaping portion that goes on top of it is able to hold now an additional 50%. Good. Tananami, and the Gemara says, and we know this as well, based on a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shita teva migdal korosa, kaversa kashva, kaversa kanim, ubor svin alachzanjur safabishishlam shulayim, vei machzikas arbaim sa'i belach, shein kurayim biyavish tahorin. If a kli was so big that it holds, and in all these examples, there are different kalim, I'm not going to translate each one of them, but if the kli is so big that it holds 40 saw of liquid, which is double core of dry, each core is 30 saw, 30 times 2 is 60. So if it's holding 40 liquid, it's holding 60 dry, perfect. That's exactly what we just said. Meaning it's 50% more when I'm heaping on top of it, so tahorin. So the kli is too big, it's no longer mekabel tuma. But again, this relationship of a measuring unit, measuring when it measures liquid versus when it measures dry. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion. Okay. Well, I'll come back and I'll review a little bit later on. Lichayayim, we're starting now the next mission of today. Shamru govan asar tfachim. Now we're talking about the dimensions of the lechi. Now the language of the mission is a little bit strange because it says lichayayim, as if it seems to say that you need two of them. And meanwhile, we know that you only need one of them. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask exactly that question. Lichayayim shamru govan asar tfachim. So the height of the lechi is going to be 10 tfachim, minimum height. Virachvan v'ovyan koshehu. Now, in terms of its width and its thickness, meaning I guess we're going from both directions, so it's any amount. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Rachman Gimel Tfachim, Rabbi Yossi says no, it has to be three Tfachim across. This Shita of Rabbi Yossi we saw already earlier in the Perek. Remember the Chatzar Gedola, Chatzar Ketana, and we had the tradition. The Chatzar Gedola was 11 Amos, Chatzar Ketana was 10 Amos. And the author of that braisa is Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that it needs to be three tfachim on each side. That one amma extra is going to be distributed evenly. It's going to be three tfachim on each side. And that's going like Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Well, in other words, we saw Rabbi Yossi earlier in the Masechta. We start off with the Gemara, Lechayim Shamru. So Lematan on stomach, Rabbi Eliezer. Damar Lechayim Beinan. Seems like our Mishnah over here is taking a position that we debated earlier. How many lechis do I need? So, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are both of the opinion I only need one lechi. Rabbi Eliezer says I need a lechi on each side of the mavui. And it sounds like our Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara is really struggling with that because Rabbi Eliezer is not the accepted halachic Shita. So it would be strange that our Mishnah is adopting that viewpoint. To which the Gemara says, lo, my lechayim lechayim da'ama. No, lechi over here just is talking in the generic. Meaning when you're setting up your lechis, if I could say that, so that's all the Mishnah means. So ihachi koranami nisne koros, or my koros koros dama. So then the Gemara says that's fine, but then just simply go back to the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, when describing korah, it doesn't talk about it generically. You know the korahs. It says hakorah in the singular. So if this is really what the Mishnah's intent is, so the Mishnah should have been consistent on this point. So Hachi Kamar. Also lechayim shenechlu gobeim Rabbi Lezer vechachamim goven asar tfachim veruch mevalvian kol shehu. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's how I'm going to read the Mishnah. The lichayim that was subject to the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the chachamim, so although they're debating in terms of how many do I need, one versus two, but in terms of the height has to be 10 tfachim. A davar muskam agreed to by both. The kama kol shehu, now, we say that the width of the lechi can be any amount. So is that to be taken literally? Tini Rabbi Chia afilu kichut hasaval. So Rabbi Chia says, yeah, a thread of a jacket, a coat. Rashi over here actually writes in French, coat. Good. That's my French for today. Tana, asa lechi lechatzi mavui, ein lo elechatzi mavui. Gemara has a brisa. The brisa says, let's say the lechi was put halfway through the mavui, meaning not at the entrance of the mavui, but half the distance. So what do you have? You have now half a mavui, which we all know that means is I can carry up to the lechi, not beyond the lechi. Gemara says, pshita, price over here seems to be pretty rudimentary. So ala'ema yesh l'chatzi mavui. So the Gemara says, well, right now, the first thing the Gemara thought is that you can't carry past the lechi, to which the Gemara says it's obvious. So the Gemara says, yeah, but maybe the point of the price is that you are given the first half of the mavui, meaning from the end of the mavui up to the lechi. Hanami pshita, the Gemara says, that too is pretty rudimentary. So ma'od detem alechus dem asilish demushe bekulei kamash malan. Okay, the havamina would have been that, generally speaking, I assume I can carry throughout the whole mavui. Meaning, generally speaking, the adjustment, the correction of the mavui is put at its entrance. And so, when I tell people, yeah, the mavui is corrected, so then we're going to go into our default position of, okay, so I'll carry throughout the entire mavui. And maybe the chachamim would have been gozer. The chiddush is that the chachamim are not gozer. And that the lechi, if it's put at the center point of the mavui, people will see it, people will know that they can only carry up to the lechi. Is that if I make a lechi, but it is not parallel, it's not running along the ground, it is above the ground, higher than three tfachim, or it is put at a distance away from the wall of the mavui, more than three tfachim, so you have nothing. You don't have a lechi. So, afilu reshim and gamlil damra, amin lavud, hani mila lamala. Avalamata kevin dahavia mechitza shagdim bokim bo lo kamar. Even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who allows for lavud up to four, but not here. Meaning, once it is three tfachim above the ground, and now it allows for goats to go underneath, so that is a total disruption of the lechi, even according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Good. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rachman Gimel Tfachim, Rabbi Yossi says that in order for a lechi to be a good lechi, a kosher lechi, it has to be a board of three tfachim. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi argues with the Tanakama. Who does the halacha follow like? Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Ein Halacha Ke Rav Yosef. Lo Behilmi, Velo Belachayayim. Two places in Shas where the halacha does not fall like Rav Yosef. Not in the case of Hilmi. That was the drink that we discussed back in Masechet Shabbos. A certain drink that's prepared that typically was done for refuah. And Lechayayim. Not in the case of Lechayayim as well. We do not fall like Rav Yosef. So Amalei Rav Huna Bar China Behilmi Amartlan B'lechayim Lo Amartlan. So Rav Huna says to Rav Yosef, well, I remember you distinctly telling us by Hilmi the halacha does not follow like Rav Yosef. I don't remember you saying anything regarding the lechayim. So Maishlan Behilmi De Pligi Rabban Aleha Lechayim Nami Pligi Rabban Aleha. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's think about this. In Masechta Shabbos, he was a Das Yachid. Here in Erevin, he's also a Das Yachid. So much like he's a Das Yachid over there and we don't follow him, there, by Hilmi, why don't we say the same thing over here? Amalei Shana Lechayayim, Mishum Dekai Rebbe Kavaseh. Well, by Alechi, it's not just the Sheet of Rav Yossi, but as we already discussed earlier in this perek, Rebbe agrees with him on the issue of the Lechi having the requirement of it being three Tfachim minimum. Rav Rechumi Masni Hachi, Am Rav Yehuda Berei, Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, Mishmei de Rav, Ein Alachi Rav Yosef, Lo Behilmi Velo Belechayayim. It's basically the same statement, but instead of it going back, the statement going back to Rav Yosef, here it goes back to Rav. But it's the same point. We don't follow like Rav Yosef. Not on the issue of Hilmi, not on the issue of Lechayayim. Amalei Amart, So he says to him, did you say that? Amar lehu lo amar. So amar lehu lo. And a denial. No, I didn't say that. Amar rav elokim amart ugamino lamine. Yes, in fact, you did say it, and we learned it directly from you. Umay tamik ahadar bay. So, and now, why a retraction? Meaning, if in fact he did say that the halacha does not fall like Rav Yossi on both topics, so why is he retracting from his position? Mishum de Rav Yossi nemuku amo. Because we know as a general rule throughout Shas that Rav Yossi Shita is to be considered one that is reasonable, sensible. Rav Yossi has the kind of insight and the kind of analysis that is generally unmatched. I know yesterday we spent the daf talking about Rav Meir and his powers of analysis. The Gemara says a similar thing regarding Rabbi Yossi. Nimuko imo. That he has reason to back him up. He is really good at arguing his point. Amalei Rav Barav Chanan L'Abaye Hilchos Amai. So now, at this point in time, does the halacha fall like Rabbi Yossi or does it not? So understandably, we're confused. Meaning, even though he's a Das Yachid, but we also can argue that Rabbi agrees with him. And even though Rav says the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Yossi, but then Rav wanted to retract because, hey, Rav Yossi, he's somebody who's difficult to argue with. So, where does Allah stand on this? Amalei pok chizi mai amadabar. So he says, okay, so in this regard, take a look at what people are doing. So sometimes the Gemara makes a statement that the halacha is going to be determined by what the minhag is. And the minhag over here is that people use a mashu for the lechi, and that is the established halacha. Ika demasin la'aha. Now, some have this conclusion going on a different issue. Hashos them mayim litzam o. If you're drinking water because you are thirsty, meaning not because you are enjoying the water, just simply because of thirst. So Omer, so what bracha do you make? Shakol niyabed vera, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Barina Fashos, Rabos vechesronan. Akol masha barasa. So a machlokis in terms of what should be the bracha when you are drinking water just because you are thirsty, not for enjoyment. So Amalei Rav Chanan L'Abaye Hilchos Amai, which halacha, what is the halacha? So Amalei Pochazi Mai Amad Dabar. So he says on that. So so basically take a look around, meaning see what the minhag is, and in this regard we're going to be following the minhag of Shehakol. Okay, and exactly what the debate is over here and what the issue is over here. See the bottom Rashi. But in the meantime, however, excellent place to pause, and we leave ourselves off in perfect position for tomorrow. In the meantime, we get to review. We started off this morning by discussing the basic dimensions of a korah. It has to be a tefach wide, so that can hold the brick. According to the Tanakhama, there is not only a width requirement of the korah, there also has to be a strength requirement by the korah. On that, Rav Yehuda disagrees. He agrees by the width, that it has to be a tefach, but in terms of its strength, so he has the principle of rowan, which halacha allows us in the case of korah to be a little bit more creative and to be a little bit flexible. Meaning, even if the korah is not strong enough, we get to view it as if it were strong enough. And this idea of rowan, according to Rav Yehuda, has many other applications. If the korah is a little bit bent, we get to view it as if it's straight. If the korah is cylindrical, we get to view it just from its diameter standpoint. Okay. In the Gemara's discussion, as we now are reviewing Yedalat Amud Aleph, so, first of all, the Mishnah says that the brick is 1.5, the korah, meanwhile, is 1. How does that work? The Gemara explained. In terms of the ma'amidei ha-korah, do they have to be strong enough, according to the Tanakhama, or is it just a korah? Machlok is between Rava Barav Huna and Rav Chisda. Let's say you make a korah, and you drape a mat on top of the korah, and the mat does not go all the way to the ground. In fact, it's 3 tefachim above the ground. What have you got for yourself? Nothing. The korah is concealed, so therefore you don't have the korah. The mat doesn't go down to the ground, it's 3 tefachim above the ground, and so therefore it doesn't serve as a wall, and you walked out with nothing. The Braisa on the Amud Aleph goes through various examples of an incomplete korah. It almost hits the other wall, but it doesn't. The two korahs almost make it to one another with a small gap in between. As long as the gap is smaller than 3 tefachim, so then we have the principle of Lavud, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, 4 tefachim. Other examples is, let's say you have twin korahs, neither of them having a tefach, but the sum total being a tefach, that's good. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, we have this idea where, let's say, the twin korahs are not running parallel to one another. So what you're allowed to do, says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, is you're allowed to view them as if they basically meet each other in the middle. And that would work based on the principle of Rowan. And the Gemara notes that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, on this issue follows like his father. Although the Gemara acknowledges that according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the upper one cannot be above 20, the lower one cannot be below 10 tefachim. Rav changes the nusach of our Mishnah. He thinks that the korah has to be both wide enough and strong enough. Exactly how to read that, I touched on the issue. See Tosfos, second Tosfos for more discussion on that. Rav also says that if it's four tefachim, it doesn't have to be strong enough. The Gemara notes the obvious difference between one tefach versus four tefachim. One tefach is not as noticeable, therefore it has to be strong enough. Four tefachim, very noticeable, doesn't have to be strong enough. All the examples of the Mishnah in Rowan, what were the chidushim of all the examples? The Gemara goes through them. Gemara then spends a good amount of time talking about the relationship between circumference and diameter 3:1, as we already pointed out. It's not exactly 3:1. It is pi in terms of the relationship. And what our Gemara is telling us is, in that in this regard, halacha is allowing us to approximate. And what is the source in Navi in terms of this relationship? Yamsha Shlomo. And the Gemara went through a lengthy discussion in terms of matching what we know to be the linear measurements and the volume measurement of Yamsha Shlomo, coupled together with the tradition of Rabbi Chiya that it's able to hold 150 mikvos. And basically what we did is we justified the tradition of Rabbi Chiya with what we know regarding a mikvah and what we know regarding the total area of the Yamsha Shlomo. On the Amud, and that took us all the way to the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. On the Amud Beis, we discussed the Lechi, has to be 10 tefachim high, with Machlokis. According to the Tanakhama Kol Shehu, according to Rav Yossi, 3 tefachim. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, even though it says the word Lechayim, it really means just 1 Lechi. As far as the width being a Kol Shehu, even the thread of a coat would be sufficient. If I put the lechi halfway through the mavui, so then I am able to carry up to the lechi. I might have thought gzera was made. Gzera was not made. If the lechi is above the ground 3 tefachim, so then no good. Even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's no good because once goats can go underneath, it no longer can qualify as a wall. As far as the halacha is concerned, whether a kol shehu or like Rav Yossi says 3 tefachim, the Gemara's conclusion, a kol shehu. And in terms of the bracha for water, same story. Rav Yossi disagrees on that as well. The halacha follows. I'm sorry, over there it's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. The Gemara says, yeah, but the minhag is that we make a shahakol on water.